Freaked out a bit and thought I wasn't coming. Running a little late. And good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's having a great day and a great morning. So thankful that you're here at Life Point Church. Last week, we started a two-week quick little series called Relational Highs and Lows. How many of you all have some fantastic, incredible, just pivotal relationships in your life right now? All right. It's pretty much everybody. That's great. Happy for you. I think it's because you all know me. Really? You laugh? Okay, how many of you all have some terrible relationships in your life that are a little toxic, not the greatest, and they constantly tend to let you down? Man, there's some people that did not raise their hand, so either you are totally checked out already, which is not a good sign for me, or you got some great relationships, so kudos to you on that. But today, we're going to be talking about those relational lows, all right? Like I said, last week we talked about relational highs, the great pieces and the beauty of a good, solid, healthy relationship. We all need those. Specifically, we talked about how God uses those relationships in our lives to build our faith. So not only are they important just to our day-to-day, but they're important to our faith and building us up. But what are we supposed to do when those relationships tank? What are we supposed to do when someone that is supposed to have our back, that's supposed to be there for us, that's supposed to be our ride or die, just leaves us hanging, turns their back on us? Or maybe even worse, hurts you in some way, shape, or form, talks bad about you, or whatever it may be. It's those relational lows. There's nothing greater than a great relationship. But man, I don't know if there's anything more painful than a relational hurt. So what are we supposed to do with that? How do we navigate through those things in a way that's both productive and life-giving? Because again, it's not easy. So today, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about what we can do. We're going to look at scripture. We're going to work through it on what we can do when we encounter those relational lows, those relational disappointments, those relational letdowns. But first, again, let me ask another question. How many of you all have experienced a relational disappointment or letdown or hurt in the past year? Okay. How many of you all have experienced one in 2019, so just in the past couple months? Yep, a few of you out there. How many of you are wounded and hurt, still carry some scars around from a relational hurt just at some point in your life? All right, relationships, they are so powerful. They're powerful for the good and for the bad. When I think about this in my own personal life, I think about some of those relationships that I have that kind of went south, or a lot of times it's just one little thing that is either said or done in a relationship that just blows it up, or it leaves just a lasting scar, even if it doesn't seem that major. I think about for me, right when I graduated high school, my freshman year in college, as soon as I graduated my first semester of college, I went to JCC because I was going to go into nursing, which some of you may know, some of you may not have known, but I was going to go into nursing, and then God just was really working in my heart, and I said, you know, I really need to transfer and go over to Bible college because that's really what I'm supposed to do. So I went back to my old high school to get my transcripts again and all the things I needed to do to apply to this other school. And for whatever reason, I ran into my uncle who lives now in Tennessee, used to live in Georgia at my old school. So I don't really still to this day know what he was doing there, but he was in town and I didn't know it and he was there. But he's a pastor. His family, his brother, they're all very, very well-known pastors in the South of very conservative, independent Baptist churches. And so even though I'm viewed as the black sheep a little bit of my family in that regard because I don't look like the stereotypical pastor, yeah, I know, right? Surprise. But, you know, I always kind of looked up to him in a way because he was a pastor and that's what he did. And I viewed him as a man of God. Even though we didn't see eye to eye on everything, I had this like respect for him and this longing for him to want to kind of be proud of the direction I was headed. And you know, so he's like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, I'm just here picking up my transcripts. I'm actually applying to Bible college. And I thought that was going to be like, all right. And he's like, okay, which college? And I'm like, well, Southern Baptist Seminary. And he's like, oh, that school. And he's like, okay. He said, well, if you ever want to go to a real Bible college, you let me know and I can pull some strings. And it was just like, ugh. Anger, frustration, hurt, disappointment, you name it, it welled up in me. That was a long time ago, and it still frustrates me. I think about once in Bible college, my senior year, the dean of the youth ministry program that I was in, one of the reasons that I went to that school was because their youth ministry program at the time was top notch. I mean, it was the best. And the dean was one of the most well-known voices on youth ministry in the world. And so I'm like, I want to learn under this guy. Come all the way full circle till my senior year when we're having our senior seminar class kind of preparing us to get the, you know, go get into the interview and all that kind of stuff, what to expect. He's like, hey, when you're preparing your resume, you know, some churches really like for you to put a picture on it. So some of you all should do that. And then points me out in the middle of class, Andy, you're not going to want to do that. And at the time, my hair was longer, and, you know, I had, you know, a couple piercings and things like that. So, but it was like those little bitty things, man, were so damaging. That was one of the reasons why I bailed on church after I graduated Bible college. I didn't bail on God. I bailed on church for about 2 years. I said, see, I'm going to Youth Spiritus, and I'm going to go work there. I'll volunteer my time somewhere else. But it's those relational hurts when people let us down. And maybe some of you right now are dealing with some major, major relational hurt. As much as I say, when I think back on all those different relational hurts, that I'm okay with that and I've overcome it, it still stings. It's still rough. Because relationships are powerful. And maybe that's something that you're dealing with right now. It hurts, especially some of those things from our childhood. Those are the ones in those developmental years that really stick with us. And in a room of people this size, statistics tell us that some of you unfortunately experience some of the worst relational hurts that one could experience, where a parent, a family member, a trusted adult hurt you. They hurt you. They abused you, or they neglected you, whether it be verbally, physically, sexually, emotionally, maybe even spiritually abusive. And that creates a scar and a wound that one could work through a lifetime. Because those relational hurts, the person that was supposed to have your back, the person that was supposed to protect you no matter what, was the one that you fell victim to. It's terrible. And if that's you, I'm so, so sorry that you've experienced that. That's relational hurts. Maybe for you, there was just some other authority figure, kind of like from my stories, that were supposed to lift you up and encourage you, and instead they tore you down a little bit. Made little jabs or little comments that hurt you. Maybe it was just someone that you just trusted. You trusted them with everything, and they betrayed you with it. It's the lows of relationship. It's something that I'm trying to teach my daughter now. She's not in here today. She's downstairs serving with the kids, so I can say a little bit. But I mean, she's in middle school. What a crazy time, right? Middle school. But I'm trying to teach her how to be open and honest and transparent with her friends, but know who and who not to trust with everything. Because you can quickly get betrayed. And it's sad that I have to teach her that, but I need to. Maybe for you, it's your marital vows, right? You pledged your marital vows, you upheld them through thick or thin, for better or for worse. Even when you didn't want to, you upheld them and you honored them, but your spouse just kind of threw them to the side. They didn't care. They let you down. Maybe for you, it was a pastor at some point in time. Someone that you trusted to lead you spiritually. And you looked at them as that spiritual authority for you, and then they bailed on you. Or they did something crazy, or they said something to you that was hurtful. But whatever it may be, we all experience relational letdowns. We all experience relational hurts. It's something we have in common. So don't think it's just you. We all experience that. And again, while relationships are beautiful things, that God will use those to help build your faith, it's also true that relationships can create some pretty significant hurt in our lives. Relationships can let us down. And if I'm being all the way real, unfortunately, so-called Christians are some of the worst at letting people down. I can't count how many times for me personally, or that I've seen with my own eyes or experienced, people in the church community letting people down. People that were in need. People that were broken. At their lowest point, when Christ followers are supposed to lift them up and love on them, they just look at them and walk away. Or worse, say, "You got what you had coming. Because of the way you live. So I'm out. Good luck." And it sounds harsh, but it happens every single day. The fact of the matter is that we all experience relational lows. All of us. Even Jesus. Jesus experienced maybe more relational lows than anybody. The perfect Son of God, who did no wrong, constantly was healing somebody, constantly loving on somebody, constantly advocating for someone, hanging out with those people that no one else wanted to hang out with, doing all the right things, everything that we should be doing, yet constant relational letdown in his life. When you look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, you see in every single book some sort of relational disappointment and pain. Someone letting Jesus down. Someone betraying him. Someone hurting him. Someone talking reckless about him. Turning their back on him. It happened constantly. He experienced those relational letdowns just like we do. In the Old Testament, there's even a well-known prophecy found in the book of Isaiah, which gives this little preview of what Jesus' life was going to be like. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 says this, prophesying about what Jesus' life would be. It says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. And we held him in low esteem." Man, he was perfect. And time and time and time again, he experienced relational letdown. When he spoke the truth, He was called a heretic. When he loved somebody, he was called, and spent time with people who needed him, he was called a drunkard and a glutton. He was called a false prophet. Even his own disciples, man, they bailed on him when he was in his greatest time of need. Judas, right, one of his closest companions, betrayed him for some coin. And did so with a kiss. Talk about a relational low, a relational letdown. And if I put myself in Jesus' sandals, you know, I'll let that one sit there for a second. But if I put myself in his shoes, I wouldn't even come close to being as graceful and loving as he was when he encounters those relational lows. When people, if I was in his position and people were bad-mouthing me and calling me a heretic while I'm just trying to love on them and I'm out here hanging out with people who really needed a relationship with God and I'm trying to love on them and they're calling me a drunkard and a glutton and spreading all these rumors about me, I'd be like, man, forget y'all. Better yet, I'm the son of God. Lightning bolt. Plague. Right? I mean, that's how I would be. Because I'm fallen. I'm flawed. And because relationships hurt when they go wrong. When we're let down. In fact, one can very easily slip into these negative, destructive, and even sinful behaviors as a result of these letdowns. Some of the most common for us is you know, whenever we face some type of destructive relationship, we then respond with destructive behavior. And there's destructive results. A lot of times when we're let down relationally, we quickly develop a hard heart. Right? We develop this heart of stone. We put up walls. Like, you hurt me? Well, guess what? I'm never going to get hurt again because I'm not letting anybody in. My heart becomes hard. I think everyone's out to get me. I can't trust anybody. And therefore, I start to miss out on those God-given relationships that we talked about last week because I've closed everyone off in self-protection mode because my heart is hardened to the possibility of a healthy, beautiful relationship. Another thing that happens many times, and I see this a lot in the Christian community, is a prideful spirit. Someone lets us down and we're like, man, I can't believe them. I'd never act like that. I'd never be like them. Can you believe that? They're just pathetic. I'm not gonna have anything to do with people like that. We start to build ourselves up thinking that we're better just because someone else had a bad moment. We become prideful in our spirit. That typically then leads to some form of justified sin in our minds, right? We start to justify things. Well, if they did this to me, then they're gonna get what they got coming because I'm gonna go do this. You're gonna run your mouth about me. You're gonna gossip about me. You're gonna share those things that I told you in confidence, and you're gonna just put that on blast to everybody. That's cool. I got dirt on you too, and I got social media. So here we go. Right? Which then brings into this revengeful spirit, a revengeful attitude, where it's just all about getting somebody back. Oh, I'm gonna get you. Or even if you don't do anything and then something bad happens in their life, you're like, yeah, baby. So eat some popcorn, watch it all unfold. Just grinning. Because you have a revengeful attitude. Y'all know me, I got road rage like crazy. I'm working on it. Lord, help me. But I'm not gonna lie, when somebody speeds past me and almost rips my bumper off because they're doing all this number, and then I get a mile down the road and I see him pulled over by the cop, whoo, I'm just so happy. I'm just so happy. And I shouldn't be, but I am. Lord, work on me. But that's the dangerous results that come when we have those relational letdowns and we're not seeking God. When we have those relational letdowns and we're not trying to work through them in a productive, life-giving way. When we experience that and we push God to the side and say, I got this, let me work on this. Those are the type of things that typically come. Because that's how we're wired. I mean, we're just flawed people. It's easier to go that route than the more difficult route. And the sad part is that many of us are still living in that space, full of hurt, full of anger, full of disappointment, revengeful attitude. And because of that, we're not moving forward. Because of that, it's affecting us, our happiness, our joy, our ability to serve God and do the things that he created us to do. We're stuck in that space. And I get it, because it hurts. It's difficult. And depending on what you've experienced, it's more difficult for you than for others. But we've got to take steps in the right direction. So what do we do? Right? When we experience those relational lows, those relational disappointments, those relational letdowns, how are we actually supposed to handle that? What do we do? Well, the first thing that I want to encourage you to do, again, as I said, we always have to run to God. We always need to seek him for these things because we cannot do this on our own. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to seek God in prayer and we're going to ask God, God, help me to live with thicker skin. Help me to live with thicker skin. Because the reality is you're going to experience it. Even the people that you love the most that are actually great friends or family members or whatever, they're going to let you down in some way, shape, or form. So we need to develop thicker skin. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 says this. It says, a person's wisdom yields patience. And check this out. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. A completely foreign concept in 2019. A difficult scripture to put into play. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. And as I stated last week, I know I got on a soapbox for a minute, you know, or two or five, or Wiggum might tell you 15. But man, today, we are way too easily offended as people. Myself included, we jump to being offended at the drop of a hat. We're offended over everything. Everything. It's crazy. There's people that actually, I personally think, love being offended. I have some friends of mine that like love playing the martyr role. Like they will jump on, if there's the opportunity to be offended, they're going to help create that opportunity to be offended so then they can talk about being offended and then play the martyr role and pour pitiful them and throw a pity party. And then they take that and they build a case against that person to crush them. Talk about how terrible they are. See, I told you they couldn't be trusted. Some people have like dedicated their lives to being offended. It's not healthy for anyone. We get offended way too easy. You call someone and they don't answer offended. Especially if they hit the button. You know what button I'm talking about. I'm just going to leave it at that. But maybe they're on the toilet, people. Do you really want to talk to them when they're on the toilet? No. So then don't be offended. Because if they talk to you while they're on the toilet and you found out, you'd be offended. Right? Or you text somebody, and they don't immediately text back. Even when you see that it's been read. I know they read it. Why ain't they texting me back? I saw the little bubbles pop up, and they went away. They don't care. I'm offended. See, we laugh because it's reality. It's reality. They didn't notice my haircut. Now, husbands, y'all better notice that haircut. But little things like, I got a new outfit. They didn't say anything. I held the door for them. They didn't say thank you. I'm offended. What a jerk. They need a throat punch. Right? We go there. You took my parking spot. I had my blinker on. I'm going to straight rage. And I'm going to be waiting for you when you get out of the car and have a few words with you. We're offended way too easily. And because of it, man, we're living miserable lives. We're offended about everything. We need thicker skin as people. We need to be able to look to the positives and not always the negatives. I know. It's one of my greatest struggles. I will jump to the negative like that. But we need thicker skin. I mean, think about this. What if Jesus was like us today and was super offended about everything? What if Jesus had thin skin? I can tell you one thing, is he wouldn't have been able to fulfill his mission. He would not have been able to fulfill the will of God if he was offended over everything. And it's the same for us. If we don't develop some thick skin, we're not going to be able to do all that God has created us to do, because it's not easy. But think about that. If Jesus had, you know, was offended and had thin skin all the time. You know, when he gives the Sermon on the Mount, you know, finishing up, walking off to the side of his disciples, he's like, you think they liked it? Was it too harsh? I mean, it was all true. I mean, I dropped knowledge, but you think it hurt their feelings? Think they're going to come back? Or when he fed the 5,000, if he was like, man, forget all them, because I didn't get a thank you card from every single one of them for doing that. I mean, y'all saw what I just did? 5,000 people with a couple of loaves, a couple of fish. No one said thank you. I'm offended. Or with the Pharisees, man. What if Jesus was like, man, they're just so mean. I'm not doing this anymore. Everywhere I go, they show up and they want to attack me. They want to call me heretic. They want to call me a drunkard. And I'm just trying to do all the things I'm supposed to do. And they're just so mean. They hurt my feelings. They make it difficult. I don't want to do this anymore. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. And honestly, when you really think about it, the times that you get offended by somebody else, probably 7 times out of 10, maybe even more, they really didn't mean it. It's really not what they were trying to do or what they were even trying to communicate. We just jump that to that spot. We just go there. I know I do. And we struggle with that. Because we're really, really, really sensitive. But what did Jesus say? Jesus says, if someone hits you in the face, what'd he say? Right, turn the other cheek. He didn't say go sit in a corner and cry about it. He didn't say get angry and plot some way to jump them later. He didn't say strike them back. He said turn the other cheek. He said, if you go into a town and they don't receive you, dust the dirt off. Keep it moving. That's on them, not on you. Shake it off. Keep moving forward. Because you have a mission. God has a plan for your life. There's these things that only you can do. He puts you in the here and the now to do specific things. And if they don't like it, dust it off, keep it moving. They want to throw shots at you, keep moving forward. We need thicker skin. We need to pray for this. But I know it's difficult. I know. I've experienced it and I've lived it. More so probably in the past couple years than I have in a long, long time. So I know that it's difficult, but there's a few things that I think that if we could understand, you know, obviously we're going to seek God. And I think there's a couple other things we can add to that that I think will help. And the first thought that we need to understand is that people will let you down. Man, so stop hoping they won't. They're going to let you down. They may not intend to, but they're going to. Because we're flawed people. We're not perfect. Something me and my wife talk about all the time, back and forth, honestly. Sometimes if I get offended about something or if she gets offended by somebody, you know, it's like, why are you so upset about that? You knew that there was a potential for that. You knew that they've done that before. Why are you surprised? We've got to stop thinking that people won't let us down. They're going to. That doesn't mean you walk around life gloom and doom thinking that everyone's going to wrong you. But the reality is we're flawed people. I, as your pastor, am probably going to let you down at some point in time if I haven't done so already. I've probably said or done something or not said or not done something that has offended you at some point in time. And if that's the case, my bad. That wasn't my intention. I don't do this to offend you guys or to hurt your feelings. I do this because I love you. I do this because this is what God has called me to do. And I want nothing more than to see LifePoint Church go and move forward and reach as many people with the good news of the gospel. And then for them to come and then to go and then for multiplication to happen and be this beautiful thing to where our city changes for the good because of what God is doing through LifePoint Church. That's what I long to see. But we're going to do some things that may be offensive to you or may not be the way that you want to do it. If my grandma was here right now, she would be super offended because I'm wearing a toboggan. Or a beanie, or whatever you call it where you're from. But we got to understand, people will let you down. So stop hoping they won't. The second thought that I think can help us with develop some thicker skin is that we need to understand that people can't meet your needs. So stop hoping that they will. Newsflash, only God can meet your needs, period. People can supplement that. Like I said last week, God uses relationships to help build our faith, to keep us on mission, keep us going in the right direction. But people were never, ever designed to meet your needs. God is. That's it. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, trust, put all your faith and trust in people. No, it says, put your faith, your trust, your whole heart and faith in God. Let him love you. Let him affirm you. Let him lead you. Let him build you up. Let him guide you. Put all your faith and trust in him. Let his people supplement, but not be the main thing. We have to have relationships. We were created as relational beings, but that first and foremost relationship is not between you and your spouse, you and your kids, you and your parents. No, it's between you and God. That's what's most important. So we got to stop putting so much stock in everyone meeting their needs. I've been around church my whole life, and I've watched time and time again people put a pastor on the pedestal as if they were God, himself. And by this time, I hope that you all have not put me on that place. Nowhere close do I belong there. Yes, God has put me here at this time and place to lead this congregation and this church through him. But that does not put me on a pedestal. That just gives me a different role in this church, which is the body of Christ. Stepping off the soapbox. We need thicker skin, right? We need to develop thicker skin. The second thing that I want to encourage you to do is, again, seek God and pray and say, God, help me to love with a softer heart. Help me to love with a softer heart. See, because those relational letdowns, man, they turn our heart to stone sometimes. We're jaded. The way we view the world and we view people, is just toxic. So quick to judge. So quick to think that we're better than everyone else because we don't struggle with this thing they struggle with, or we don't live this way that they live, or we didn't have their life experience. And we need to be able to love with a softer heart. I think developing a thicker skin and loving with a softer heart is pivotal in us being able to do what God created us to do. For us to be a church that's going to move forward to reaching people with the good news of the gospel. You see, because the higher you go in influence, whether being a position at your company, within the church, as a church within the community, the higher that you go, the more criticism you attract. Therefore, you're not going to go very high if you don't have thick skin and you don't have a soft heart. See, because having one or the other is a recipe for disaster. If you have too thick of skin, one of my favorite stories of Jesus in scripture is when this man comes to him and asks Jesus, thinking he's going to trick him up, thinking he's going to get Jesus off his game, be able to have something to accuse him, says, hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment in the law? What's the greatest commandment? And they sit back and they're just waiting so they can build their case. And he said, you ready? Here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first step. The second, equally as important, is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you can do those two things, you've fulfilled the law. Love God, love people. Really simple. Yet we complicate it like crazy. That thick skin, a loving heart. But see, as Christ followers today, we're off our game. We're off our game. Just jump on social media if you don't believe me. Find those people that you believe to be Christians, or maybe even look at your own posts. I'm not judging, I'm just saying. Christians, man, are some of the most guarded, mask-wearing, judgmental, and unloving people I've ever met. It's one of the reasons why many people don't come to the church. It's one of the reasons why people leave the church. And unfortunately, it's one of the reasons why people bail on God. We got to find the balance. Thick skin, loving heart. If anyone had an excuse to harden his heart, it was Jesus. At every turn, he was criticized. Every turn, relational letdown, again and again and again. Yet he moved forward on his mission to the cross, to give his life, the ultimate sacrifice for the very people that were hating on him, that were criticizing him, that were letting him down. When people were at their worst, Jesus was at his best. I mean, think about that. Think about what that would be like for you, for that deep wound, relational wound, for you to lay down your life for that person, those people. That's what Jesus did. Don't get it twisted. Don't act like that wasn't you. It was you. It was your sin. It was your flaws. It was your failures that took him there. And he did it for you. When people were at their worst, Jesus was at his best. And not only did he go to the cross, but he said these words from it. In Luke 23:34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. He didn't just overlook the offense. Yo, he forgave them. The very ones that drove the nails, that drove the spear into the side, the ones that were spitting on him and cussing at him, the ones that were making a mockery of him and throwing the crown thorns on his head. He did all of those people. He looked at them and said, Father, forgive them. Thick skin and a loving heart. And some of you here this morning are really, really struggling with this. And I get it. I do too, from time to time. Even some of those old ones pop up, and I really wrestle with it and really struggle with it. But see, what's happened is you have a heart of stone. You've closed off. You've tried to protect yourself that way. And it's creating very, very negative results. Definitely not positive. And maybe for you, today's the day that you face that. And with the power of Christ living in and through you, that you're able to begin to take the steps to truly having that healing in your life from whatever that letdown was. Or maybe whatever that letdown that you're currently going through is, so that you can actually release that. That you can overlook the offense and forgive them. Not easy. But see, that's what Jesus did, and we're to model everything, our whole lives after him. Therefore, we have to do the same. And the good news is that he can do it. You may not be able to, but he can, and he will, and he does it time and time again. Scripture says this in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. And I want you to remember this passage whenever you're struggling with this, and when you know that your heart is rock hard. You look at this, it says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I love the imagery. Take out this heart of stone, just rock solid, just old, brittle, cracking off, and I'm gonna give you this beautiful heart of flesh. I'm gonna heal you. I'm gonna help you to move past this hurt. So when you come face to face with that relational letdown, because you will, we all do, think about how can I overlook this offense? I don't want to, I need to. How do I overlook the offense? God, help me to have a thicker skin. Help me not to be so offended so easily. And at the same time, help me to love with a softer heart. To love all people. That's what we're called to do, to love all people. And all means all. I say that a lot. But I want you all to hear me clearly. All means all. Not the people that you're just comfortable loving. All means all. And if you struggle with that, pray for God to give you a softer heart. He will. For those of you that are here this morning whose heart is damaged, I feel you. And I'm sorry that you've experienced whatever it is that you've experienced. But know that our good God is the great physician. He will heal you. He will help you overcome. And he will give you that new heart. So stay connected to him. Keep your eyes fixed on him and let him do the work in you. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you that you're not like us. That you're not offended easy. Because God, each and every one of us here today have offended you in some way, shape, or form over and over and over again. So thank you for overlooking our offense. And most importantly, thank you for sending your son to pay that price for us, even though we didn't deserve it. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for modeling what a relationship should look like. How we should love, but also how we should forgive when someone lets us down. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here this morning and you've never entered into that initial relationship with Christ. You've never placed your faith and trust in him. You know, I've alluded to this a few times during the message, but and maybe that's all new to you, but I want you to understand that God loves you. Despite what you may have heard or what you may have seen from other Christians, understand the God of the Bible loves you so much that he made a way for you to be made right with him. Knowing that on our own, we're flawed, man. We can't make it. We can't do it. And knowing that, he sent his son to take our place, to take on our shame, our guilt, die, shed his blood, give of his body, and then raise again for us, defeating death, hell, and the grave so that we could be made right before the Father. And scripture tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he is who he says he is, and we believe that, we confess that we have flaws, we're not perfect, and we're in need of a Savior, that we'll be saved. Confess and believe. So if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never stepped over that line of faith, but you feel that there's this void, there's a missing relationship, just call on him this morning. It's not the prayer that saves you, it's your heart. Let him take that heart of stone and replace it with that heart of flesh. Let him open your eyes to what a life with him is truly like. Full of love and mercy and grace. Not shame, guilt, and condemnation. Love, mercy, grace. That's what he offers. So if that's you, you just call on him however he leads. Or if you don't really know, you have more questions about that, and you can come talk to me after the service or Daniel or one of our other leaders. We'd be more than happy to talk with you. Love to talk to you about it. But maybe you're here this morning and you're really struggling with a relational hurt. It's completely sidelined you from everything. It's consuming you. Again, I get it. Relationships are powerful. Just as they can be one of the greatest things in your life that helped build your faith and put you on a trajectory to a stronger and incredible relationship with God, it can also destroy it. Maybe that's your story right now. And if that's the case, just take that to him. He'll give you that new heart. He'll give you the strength to overlook that offense. He'll guide you in what to do. Just seek him for that thicker skin and a softer heart. And he'll do that today. So at this time, instead of directly going into a time of prayer, we're going to transition into communion. And here at LifePoint Church, we believe there's two different ordinances that we follow in Scripture. One of them is baptism. The other is taking of communion. Neither one of them are prescribed for salvation itself. Again, that's only through just confessing and believing. But these are things that we do to model our faith. Baptism, to show our community that we've given our life to him. To take that first step in obedience. And then in celebrating and taking of communion, we do so in remembering what God did for us through giving his son as that ultimate sacrifice. And Jesus, overlooking all those offenses, continuing to love, went to the cross and died and rose again. And so as we take this, we do so in a celebration and remembering what was done for us so that we could have the freedoms and the joy and the peace and the eternal connection to God that we have through Jesus. And the only requirements for taking in communion with us here at LifePoint is one, that you do have that connected relationship with God. And the other is that you just take a moment here when Jared and the team plays, just search your heart. Just talk to God. Confess anything you need to confess. Listen if you just need to listen. Ask him for that thicker skin. Ask him for a softer heart or both, whatever it may be. Maybe it's that you need to give your life to Christ.